Hello, lovely listeners. I'm so excited today to be joined by Valerie, and she is a time hacker. And I just asked her to come on and share a bit about her experience. And we actually just started talking even before hitting record. I was like, stop, this is what we want to say for the podcast. So, Valerie, will you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit like what you were just sharing with me about your decision to even become a time hacker?
Sure. My name is Valerie Leong. I live in the Bronx in New York City. I actually work for the government for the city of New York, and I work on a portfolio of affordable housing. So me and my team, a team of about 25, we impact about 43,000 families, and we provide affordable housing for them. And what that requires is just like a lot of follow-up, compliance, operationalizing a lot of things, tracking a lot of things. So I've used all the tools here from Time Hackers to kind of give me insight, pause, and calm me down a little, because I think I suffer from low level anxiety, and I think I use the tools in order to like help me cope with the daily like back and forth, living in a very big city, working for a very big city, and then also being a mom and a mother. Wait, I'm a mom and as well as a wife, yeah, so it's just a lot. I joined Time Hackers in August of 2023, and I was following you. Maybe I met you through another podcast, and I had just been following you on your podcast. And I actually heard about the reason why I joined was because of the one-to-one coaching offer, and I was excited. I was like, oh, okay. And I saw that IB was one of the coaches, and I know her from another program, so she actually got to coach me a couple of times in Time Hackers, and she was like amazing. What one time I came from vacation and I couldn't sleep. I was having like these nightmares and these panic attacks, and she pretty much figured out. And the reason why we got to the bottom of it was because I always feel kind of like an imposter, and that when I get back from vacation, they're gonna find me out, like I did something wrong, right? Or that I left something messy, or I didn't follow up on something, or I dropped the bomb, or whatever it is. But basically, what we realized was that that's been my coping mechanism my whole life, to like catastrophize, to think that I did something wrong. And that's kind of like what pushes me to the next level of success, which is very odd.
Which is interesting because it's like, so I mean, I definitely noticed this becoming a mum. My brain was like, we must think about like, we're going to fall down the stairs every single time, like we're carrying him and everything. And it's such a survival mechanism. And I think it's totally related to that low level anxiety that you're speaking about, because I've gone and experienced the same thing. And I think it's something as like, obviously, like high achievers, busy women, taking on all the things. It's like, and it's interesting to hear you at the end, even like, give it credit, give this part of you credit, which I think so often we do, and then we keep catastrophe. It becomes like a safety mechanism. You jumped into so many amazing points
I
there,
know,
so
sorry.
I love that like everyone just got to know you straight away, and I love that you shared about your work and everything that you are managing and what it's like to live in a busy city, because I think we don't even think about how that impacts us and our brain and our experience, the fact that there's lots of moving parts. And if you're open to it, like I love that you shared about our amazing coaches. But if you're open to it, I'd even love for you to just tell us a little bit about the experience of our one-to-one coaching program, because I'm sure there's people listening that have been thinking about that too.
Okay, well, that's what caught me, right? There was like a deal. I'm like, oh, I'm definitely doing this one-on-one thing. I knew Ivy. I'm like, she's amazing. And then I got to meet your other coaches, and I was going, I it was a weird summer, right? Me and my husband were having a little, some issues here and there, and I don't know, I just kind of felt like I needed somebody to talk to, as opposed to just keeping it all into my in myself. Like, I know coaching tools, but it's one thing to know it and one thing to actually speak, and just kind of like somebody tell you kind of like what you're just regurgitating what you just said, so that you have that self-awareness. And then also kind of like showing you how your brain works, that, as I mentioned before, I'm always like making things like a big drama, like a telenovela, like all these layers and layers and layers of drama. But it's not, but when they explain it to you, you're like, oh, there's nothing wrong. Everything is okay. Nothing, there's no crisis here. Like, I feel like I live in like crisis management at all times. And like the one-on-one coach actually helped me to like have that self-realization that my life is not in crisis. Like, everything is fine. And this is all kind of created internally.
Wow, that's so big.
Yeah.
Just being able to dial down the stress and the anxiety and to have some like calm and even feeling some like self-control.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And then also like what the kind of like what my coping mechanisms are on the day to day, right? At work, how do I cope with the high stress or at home or yeah, even with my family, like, or even my parents, everything, like just giving me like that awareness on
Yeah.
how I'm showing up for all those like different relationships.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Someone asked me recently, like, so if I do the Time Hackers program, this is when I was being interviewed on a podcast. They said, will it impact other areas of my life? I was like, yeah, like the way we interact with time, like it, literally time is relevant in every area in our relationships to others and our relationships to ourselves and our relationship to our health and the vacations and the things that we do for fun. So I love that you shared that. And then what made you decide to take the jump from one-to-one into becoming a time hacker?
I thought I was like, oh, this, I've gotten so much out of this. Let me see about this program because it was like a lifelong membership, right? And then they had weekly group coaching calls. So I'm like, oh, I can, get the benefits of this at all times. And then I wanted to actually jump into more into the like the tools.
Yes. And what would you say has been like, so because we have a lot of people being like, I don't know whether the one-to-one or the lifetime program is for me. So I love that you shared that like it's possible to start with the one-to-one and see if you want to continue because that is more accessible pricing. But is there anything that you would share where you're like, this is what's really good from the one-to-one program and this is what's really good from the lifetime program?
The one-to-one program is more like about not feeling crazy, like you always feel that something's wrong with you, right? And it gives you that moment to know that everybody's going through the same thing, right? If there's nothing special or crazy about you, you're just a human being living life, and there's going to be good days, bad days, and all you have to do is kind of create like these mechanisms, understand your patterns, and you know how to keep moving forward. In terms of like the group program, it's more like the I've actually downloaded all the lessons on the Private Member podcast, and I listened to them,
Yeah.
and I started doing the worksheets.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I guess it's more kind of giving you like understanding more of your patterns, having it accessible to you at all times, and then you can study whenever you want. You can join the calls at
Yeah.
once a week and see kind of like what other people are dealing with.
Yeah, I love that. It's like on demand. Although, I mean, you can book the one-on-one sessions to suit your schedule as well. But yes, it's like access to the materials and even then what you talked about, like the different mediums. There's like a workbook you can use yourself and answer the questions. There's a private podcast for everyone listening who loves the podcast. So you shared a little bit about what's changed and what you've learned, but is there anything specifically around like in your day job, what do you notice or what do you think is different because of the work that you've done through Time Hackers?
I think that self-confidence, one of your lessons, you say you don't have to be like perfect, right? 100% perfect to have that belief in yourself. And I think that's been key. Like you were saying something about like not even surgeons are like 100% like perfect. And for me, my whole life has been like perfectionism, right? You have to have 100 in every single subject. And a lot of my job, I was procrastinating because I was so I wanted it to be 100, right? Like the memo or the email and or like the response. I didn't want it to look messy or not structured or unsophisticated. But with the tools, it's more like just get it done, It doesn't matter. People are gonna think whatever they think. I mean, as long as you feel good with what with who you are. And yeah, I think that's all kind of like what matters. It's more about building like that self-trust that you have your back no matter what. And I think that's been my biggest the biggest thing I've been trying to work on throughout all these months is that self-trust that you are exceptional, you're brilliant. Even if you make mistakes, even if you give terrible work, even if like I used to be such a like people, well, I probably still am, but such a people pleaser that if my boss gives me feedback, I'm automatically thinking like the worst. Kind of like when you're in elementary school and you get in trouble. That's kind of like how I was seeing work as. But not like as an opportunity to learn, but just like, oh my God, I did something terribly wrong and now I'm a terrible human being. Like my brain just like went straight there, And
Yeah.
now it's more about like building that muscle of self-trust that even if you do make mistakes, just keep on going. It doesn't matter,
Yeah, and you use like the P word, procrastinating, and it's such a big one where like we don't make it safe to like not have everything work out perfectly all the time and to potentially get feedback that's going to make us improve, then of course we don't want to do anything. And so I always think like how much time is wasted in organizations by individuals, not because they're lazy, not because they're wrong in any way, but because of this self-protection mechanism in their brain that's like something bad's going to happen if you don't do this perfectly. And hey, guess what? We're humans. Exactly like you said, no one does everything perfectly 100% of the time. It's just not physically possible. And even like perfect is subjective. So like what's perfect for me isn't necessarily perfect for my like partner, and we could be managing the same project. So then what do you do? So I think that's such a cost of.
And what's weird that I've realized this too is that perfect, I can't even like explain what that means myself, you know? So how look, I don't even know what a perfect means. I think it's more like accolades. If somebody tells you you did a good job, that's perfect, you know? But sometimes you have to give that to yourself because people, I mean, in my job is so fast paced. Nobody's gonna say, "Oh, you're doing a great job," or "It's perfect," or whatever. You know, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, and also, have you ever had it where someone said you've done a good job and you've been like, I'm not sure?
My boss says that all the like I do public hearings for work, and yesterday she said, "Oh, great job." I'm like, "Oh, she must say that to everybody, right?" And you don't even believe it, so you're working so hard to be perfect or get these accolades, and then when you get it, you just like it means nothing.
Exactly. I love how you shared how it, like a little bit about your boss and how it's impacted like your ability to take feedback and also not rely on feedback and like self build that self confidence. So, and also you mentioned you managing a team. So how do you think having access to the tools or anything that you've learned through either one-to-one or group coaching with the Time Hacker principles, how do you think it's impacted your ability to lead a team or even be led?
So for me, I'm trying to make it normal to like make mistakes, you know. I tell my team we have a high volume. There's gonna be, you know, bound people that are gonna be, you know, left through the cracks. We have to make so many decisions on a daily basis. Like I do like fair housing decisions constantly. One of these, I mean, it's gonna happen bound that you don't make the right decision, but at least you're keeping the work moving and you're trying to impact as many people as possible. But if I get so caught up on just making one decision, imagine all like the backlog that we're gonna have. So it is kind of like building my team that they can make sound decisions for themselves. They ask questions where they feel comfortable being who they are and to make mistakes. And yeah, just like an opportunity to give and receive feedback. Like I'm always authentic. I had a training yesterday where I was showing a new application that we gave to the public, I was being collaborative. I'm like, I was authentic. I'm like, this is my first time. I made this in like a couple of hours. I appreciate your feedback and I'll fix it and send it over to you. And I don't think anybody has ever spoken to them in that manner. And they were like, "Oh, we really appreciate the collaborative nature of this meeting and this training." And I wasn't embarrassed. Some people feel that that's a weakness or whatever to like show your authenticity that you don't know everything. But I'm just like, whatever, you know, I work with these people. I'm gonna work with them regularly. So I want them to feel comfortable to come to me if there is something wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so important that we see more examples, true examples of humans being humans and the safety that that creates for the other humans in your team. So I love that you shared that. And I love what you said as well about having so many decisions, because there are so many decisions. So it sounds like, particularly in your work, but for everyone listening, like everything that you are doing, every email you are reading, what you are replying in that email, when you are getting up to go make a cup of coffee, what you are putting in that cup of coffee, what you are prioritizing, the phone call that you are, like we're making thousands of decisions every single day. And what you spoke about that decision backlog happens because we're afraid of making the wrong decision. And what you said of like, there will be some wrong decisions, and if we try to avoid them, it's going to take us like an hour to make one decision, and then we're not going to get to the other 50 decisions anyway. So we're already not like we've actually made a decision for them, which is nothing's happening for them because of the additional time that we've spent making that decision. And also, like, I think when we create safety to make mistakes, we actually create less mistakes because we're less on edge, we're less in anxiety, we're less in fear, we're more in confidence, which allows us to make clearer decisions.
It's true. And then another thing that I learned in Time Hackers is just just because things take a long time doesn't make it more valuable, right? I mean, you can
Yes.
make a decision within seconds, and that could be a valuable decision, as opposed to just doing research and research and research and then going in a rabbit hole, and that's going to take like 2 hours of your time.
Yes. It's such an important point. I think that we have definitely been taught that if you care about something, you will spend more time on it, and more time equals more value. But given that our brains like evolved with a negativity bias, I think the more time we have on something, the more opportunities we have for doubt, the more opportunities we have for fear. And that's going to pull us away from that strong, intuitive decision into like those habits like people pleasing and perfectionism that aren't like the fast. I think the best way to combat them is to move faster than them. So I love that you shared that. And it's something that I even see when we're working with companies. It's, what did someone say to me recently? Like, take your time, think about it, and then come back and let us know what you propose. And like within 5 minutes, I was like, this is what I propose. Like, that's how it is. Like, the best time for me to engage with you is right after I've spoken with you, I've heard about your goals, your visions, your priorities, and like it can be decided fast. So I love that you shared that. And making faster decisions or letting go of the idea that more time is better, what's that change in terms of like your work week, your work life?
I'm actually involved in so much more things.
Yeah.
So I have like a monthly movie membership where I go watch like 2 to 3 movies a week. I go
Right.
to the gym 4 times a week.
Yeah.
I'm part of like this networking women's group now that has a clubhouse. I go there every Fridays to telework. I feel like my job, I mean, my life is like completely changed. I take my son for tutoring. I feel like I have more time now because I do make these decisions quickly, and I just move on to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. I'm part of a program where I mentor a woman that's coming up in the housing industry. Like I feel like since September, I'm doing so much more now than I ever have. That is not only for myself, for my family, but also giving back, you know, to the
Yeah.
community while also taking care of myself, like my mental well-being. I watch my movies and also like going to the gym 4 times a week.
I love that you shared what you are doing with your time, because I think so often people are like, I don't know what I would do. And also at the start, when you shared about your work and the high demands and being a mom and being a wife and having a household and all of those things, it so many of us are like, oh, because I've already got all of these things, I can't do these additional things with my time. And you actually are doing it all. So I don't love saying the phrase doing it all, because I think we use it against ourselves, but you are creating and spending your time how you want to. And you have like time diversity, as I call it.
Because before I was just like going to work, taking care of my son, that's it. You know, I'm like, I had no hobbies, no nothing. And I'm like, I can't live like that. I need to like have joy, like find my own personal likes and dislikes. And yeah, whatever makes me joyful, have hobbies. Like
Wow.
find community of women that are like doing great things, you know? Like I find
Yeah.
strength in that.
Yes. I mean, I definitely, I think community is so important. I think there's the communities that we choose, and then our work is also a community. And I think it's important to think about how are we able to contribute even there beyond ticking, checking the boxes and so on. So I love a few of the things that you shared, outside of
And in
work and
terms
inside.
of work, it hasn't slowed down. It's just what I'm doing now is so much more efficient, right? Where
Yes.
I'm not procrastinating, I'm just delegating or I'm making decisions quicker that I'm able to free myself more.
Yes. And like, as you know, I mean, you're in the program, we speak about decision making so much, and the fact that it's like a skill, it's a skill that we're not really taught. And like you said, we're given a lot of misinformation around this idea that more time, we end up carrying like 50 decisions in our head at any point in time. I mean, it's exhausting, but we're not actually moving forward. And it sounds like what you've used the program to do is make faster decisions, implement on them, allow yourself to like fail and learn and improve and create that safety in your team. And you are literally achieving more in less time and enjoying your life more.
Yes, exactly. Nice
That's time
summary.
hacking, folks. That's it. Valerie's
Yeah.
done it. Congratulations.
I'm a work in progress.
Yes,
I
we
mean, I
always.
still have the and with all that, I still have that low level anxiety, right?
Yes.
I'm still working on like being in the moment, just
Yeah.
enjoying what I have created for myself, right?
Yeah.
And not like focusing on the next thing.
Yes. I think that's really powerful to share as well, because I do want to normalize. There's no place we arrive where we stop being human and we stop having a human brain. And, you're still able to become more effective, efficient, and joyful and still be human. Like, we don't have to become robots. We don't have to be perfect, exactly like you shared 100% of the time. So I love that you shared that. Is there anything else you want people listening to know? So I really think this episode is for people that are employees or parts of teams, lead teams, or part of organizations, and they're thinking, like, yeah, I know I could use my time better, but maybe I've tried like a time management or time blocking and I didn't do it, or I keep losing my to-do list. So what would you say to them?
I would say that at the end, what I've noticed is that at the core of anything that might be like slowing you down or having, is the sense of fear. And it could be, and the fear manifests its way in many different ways. And if you have an opportunity to kind of like explore that and kind of what your fears are and kind of like, what's being created by that, it could be the procrastination, the lack of time management. It can be it creates itself in many forms, and to explore that is it's a wonderful thing, and I think it will help a lot of people.
And what do you think would be different if organizations like took on time hacking and provided these tools to their people?
I mean, if my job paid for it, I would be so happy. I think people need an outlet, right? People, they're working, they want to be good workers. I think in essence, as you mentioned before, people want to do good, right? And sometimes they don't have the support, where they have like that outlet where they can maybe explore their brains or talk to somebody one on one, or to know that they're not broken. A lot of people think that they're broken and they're just going to be this way for the rest of their lives. But yeah, just have the opportunity for access, I think, is important.
What do you think is the ROI for organizations if they do invest in their people?
I think people would just be happier. I try to bring whatever I learned to people, and people like seem joyful. They're like, "Oh my God, I love your energy. You have such great energy." So I think that if others give that energy to others, I think it would be like an amazing thing, right? To touch people in that way, in a positive way.
Yes, amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here. And I'm excited to share that Valerie's also going through our coach certification program. So it's like going deeper in the work. And I actually think it's an amazing management tool as well for managers to go through. So I love that you are doing it. And everyone listening can watch this space to continue following on with Valerie's story as well.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk to you one on one.
Yeah, this was so fun. Thanks everybody for listening. And if you want to find out more about how we can work with you, your team, I'll leave the links in the show notes, but you can go to timehackers.xyz/teams. And we'll also leave the links to one-to-one coaching in case you want to jump in to that like Valerie did. Thank you for listening and know that it's possible for you. I promise you, we've all started out where you are. All right, bye.
Hey, if you want to get 5 hours a week back minimum for life, then I want to invite you to join Time Hackers. It's this podcast on speed where you'll get access to time hacking tools not shared on the podcast. You'll get access to my proven process for hacking your time to get 5 hours back every week at least. It's also my favorite place to hang out. And will be yours too as you connect with other time hackers, where you'll get celebrated, supported, and coached, of course. You are a time hacker. This is where you belong. Head to VickyLouise.com/group. I can't wait to see you there.